or Rima Sano Show on 702.
Let's walk the talk. Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Dion Reddy, an education expert from Optime Workplace, says that one area that we as a country can tackle to start solving the problem of unemployment is that of teaching basic workforce skills. These skills can help unemployed youth get over the line and secure jobs for themselves. And he joins me now on the line. Dion Reddy, thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated, sir. What are these workforce skills and what problem will they be tackling?
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you, sir.
Very good evening to your listeners, and I look forward to imparting some of the knowledge that I've gained along the way. So if we look at these skills that are needed, it's the long and short stick of somebody trying to finish school or leave varsity with a degree or diploma and not being able to find suitable employment because they have not had exposure to the world of work.
Yeah.
And that seemingly is becoming more and more prevalent in South Africa because we're putting too much emphasis on getting somebody an academic qualification on paper without giving them the deep-rooted skills that they need to become a cultural fit at their workplace.
Yeah.
To understand the employee-employer relationship. So that's what we formulated at Optime Workplace. We realized that there's a need. And we just didn't wake up one day and realize, you know, there was a need. Optime Workplace is 25 years old. So we've learned along the way that many individuals, despite having the proper educational background and academic qualifications to go with that, do not have the know-how of how to carry themselves in the workplace.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. We have that conversation almost every week, Dion, and I couldn't agree with you that there is a disconnect between the process of credentializing people versus the process of preparing people for competence, right?
And I'm
wondering where the disconnect is, because we continue on our merry way, you know, shoving kids into an education system that gives them all sorts of credentials. They get the matric, they get the degree, they get the but as you say, the people seem not to be aligned and connected to what that job requires them to do. Where is the problem?
I think we're looking for a quick fix when we should be looking for a long-term solution. And whilst we want to bridge the inequality gap, I don't think it's something that we need to expect to happen overnight. It's something that we need to plan for, and it's something that we need to, it needs to become part of our life. It needs to become a South African life where we go to work respecting each other, respecting each other's cultural backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
Respecting gender. And I've just heard that your conversation now about the gender violence and stuff. I'm respecting those type of things, and that's where this problem starts from. We have not made it a part of being South African. So, you know, being proudly South African is we are the Rainbow Nation. But how much of that really is now being carried over inappropriately into the workplace?
Hmm. So, sorry, Dion. So what are some of those workforce skills? I mean, give me a sense, a more practical sense of what it is that we're talking about. I get the framework. I get the reality in which we operate, that we have a real misalignment between what we learn in our educational and not in not all subjects, right? Because I suppose a guy who goes to medical school is going to be a pretty good doctor if they get through the whole process. But I'm talking mostly about some of the subjects that that don't teach specific skills, but that give students the impression that they are qualified in something, but they haven't really given them a particular commercial skill that can give them a job, that can make them earn a living. What are we talking about when you guys at Optime speak of workforce skills?
One of the main ones that comes to mind is preparing yourself for employment, preparing yourself how to make up a CV. School doesn't teach you how to make up a CV. University didn't teach you how to make up a CV. That's something that we think people know. And that's one of the skills that we have, which is part of our workforce series, which is prepare yourself for employment and learn how to make up your CV. Learn how to sell yourself in an interview. Ethics in the workplace. We can't stress more how much we need ethics in the workplace, how people behave with each other. Remember, we've probably, South Africa, coming with the most vast differences of cultural backgrounds, and not respecting that cultural background, not drawing that line. I myself interview a lot of candidates, and a lot of them come in there expecting you to employ them or teach them the job, which is fine. But what we're looking for mostly, and what a lot of companies are looking for mostly, is whether the individual is going to be a good cultural fit for that organization.
What are we talking about when we say a good cultural fit for that organization? I mean, I don't imagine that you're talking necessarily about ethnic culture or...
Absolutely not.
What are you talking about?
Organizational culture.
Yeah.
I'm talking specifically about organizational culture, to the extent that this person would participate in a fun-filled Friday that we have. This person would be able to say, please and thank you. Those type of things. So, you know, each company and each organization has their own unique cultural fit and their own unique culture. And these are the types of things that schools not teaching, or subjects are not teaching as well. I know you mentioned just now that a medical doctor, you know, in that part of a particular type of facet of occupation, that individual might come out flying colors. But how often do we hear of doctors themselves that don't have the ethical skills or the people skills to deal with people, and people getting upset with them, for an example? Or our police on the road. They can enforce the law very well, but can they handle themselves in front of people? And, you know, we see all this stuff in social media about people having problem with police on the road. And that's one of the skills that's lacking. It's the ability to engage with somebody else, to respect them, to be a good cultural fit for what you're doing.
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying to me that what you're referring to is the ability to implement what you have learned in terms of the operationalization of the work that you're doing, but the ability to implement that in context. Am I hearing you correctly, Dion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the nail on the head. Being able to implement it correctly so that you become an effective asset to the organization.
You will probably have heard this kind of conversation, that every time we hear about organizational culture, standards, you know, those kinds of very interesting triggering words, organizational culture, standards, we need to maintain standards, we need to standards, that whole big conversation. I remember that conversation was very strong maybe 5-10 years ago. That actually it is about trying to deny people their individual character, their individual identity, that it is about trying to make people disappear and be something that they're not. Where do you stand with that kind of conversation? I'm sure you've heard it before.
Yeah, you know, personally, you know, I'd always have a personal and then a professional opinion to certain things. And I'm going to give you my personal opinion that I think that, yes, people do have their own identity that companies need to respect with regard to organizational culture and, you know, not expecting people to follow the norm. But I think that there's a set of mandatory rules that you could color it in yellow and then say the ones that are colored in red is a no-go zone. So I think that the company needs to compromise as well as the individual needs to compromise to come to a middle ground where both parties are actually happy.
Yeah.
So that where business can operate under favorable conditions. Remember, everybody's business wants to, and people want to create themselves a competitive advantage. I mean, we're dealing with globalization. We're dealing with companies all over the world that are competing for the same piece of the pie.
Yeah.
And I think if we have this connotation of being self-absorbed in ourselves, that everything has to center around us, that's not going to work. I believe personally that companies and individuals need to meet somewhere halfway, because what an individual can bring in terms of expertise to the business is invaluable for the performance of the business themselves.
Mm.
So I do believe that there has to be some sort of common ground, some sort of compromise.
Let's zero in on the conversation about culture, what is permissible in principle and what should not be permissible in principle. And by the way, please join us as we have this conversation, 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. Dion Reddy is my guest, an education expert from Optime Workplace. By the way, what does Optime Workplace do, Dion?
Well, Optime Workplace, we a 25-year-old training and development organization with a bunch of very enthusiastic people that develop communities, develop disabled youth. So we provide occupational skills for disabled youth so that they can become employable. We engage with CETAs. We engage with government enterprises. We basically the liaison between organizations, should I say, and the communities out there where we take education to.
Yeah, yeah. So let's zero in on this idea of cultural fit, organizational cultural fit. Give me a scenario, Dion. When we have an organization that has a particular culture.
Yeah.
That you'll probably be able to describe for me. What is the expectation for the employee? I say this and I ask this because I know that there are certain organizations that have a particular culture.
Yeah.
That is so against the way that people show up in life. In other words, people will say you've got to have a professional look, right? You've got to have a professional look when they actually mean that you can't have an afro, right?
Yeah.
Now my hair, my hair naturally occurs in afro. So what are you saying to me? Are you saying to me that I don't have a professional look fundamentally? Did you see where I'm going with this kind of thing?
I absolutely
What are we talking about when we say that a company has got a culture and we need to fundamentally, as employees, fit into that culture in order to be part of that collective that is making that company function commercially so that we can keep our jobs, we can feed our children? But at which point is company culture actually a dictation to me and a call for me to not be me, if you understand what I'm saying?
No, yeah. I totally hear that. Yeah. That's a very good example. I think, you know, if we look at COVID and what's COVID done to organizations, and big or small organizations, we all have to adapt to the changes that we had to make so that organizations could still, you know, operate. And COVID's turned the whole thing on its head. Right now, it doesn't matter if you're working from home, if you decided to take a bath or shower early in the morning because you still could operate from your PC doing that.
Yeah.
Whilst what you're saying is most probably very prevalent in certain type of organizations where, you know, if you say tie your hair up. But that's not what we really want to get into. I think when we describe cultural fit is the integrity of the organization, the way the organization represents itself to the outside world. That for me defines the organization, and that is the culture of the organization.
Yeah.
That the organization will decide to use a tie or a coat to certain events, and for the rest of the time you could use jeans. I remember, a very crude type of example is that when you were back in school many years ago, if you had a day without your uniform, that day, even though it was a school day, you probably didn't do much learning.
Yeah.
So already your mind told you, you know, you're not set or you're not dressed for the occasion, and therefore the occasion's not going to happen. But I think we've matured past that. And we've gotten stronger with things like what COVID had to throw on us. And we've now decided, you know, we got to work with what we have. We got to use technology. And that could also be one of the cultural esteems of the business, that everybody uses Teams or Zoom to conduct meetings. And that's the way people interact with each other.
Yeah.
And that could be the cultural fit.
Yeah.
That you don't log in 10 minutes into the meeting. That you log in 5 minutes before the meeting.
Yeah.
And that could be, and I'm sure that if the CEO of an organization did that, or if the head of an organization did that, logged in late and didn't bother, wasn't prepared, everybody else will follow suit as well. Now, what our courses really do is teach people these soft skills that I wouldn't say sometimes we don't get taught about it. It's these skills that we sometimes take for granted and forget about.
No, I would argue, Dion, that we don't get taught. We don't teach. We erroneously make the assumption that that's obvious. You should know that. But we don't teach that. We don't teach that. Listen, the punctuality is part of your identity as a commercial entity. Being able to be fully prepared and being able to articulate your ideas succinctly and clearly is what you need to be able to do in order for you to be valuable to the company. So I hear you, but I argue very strongly that those things are not taught. Perhaps they're touched on, but they're not taught with the emphasis that they require, that makes people understand that this is critical stuff. This is the stuff that makes you or break you. You know, it's almost done as if it's a by the way thing. If you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. You use one very important word, and I was just going to pick on it. It's a critical skill that's become very scarce in our country.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to take some calls. I want to take some calls. 011-883-0702. Jabari is in Four Ways. Hi, Jabari.
Hi, yes. Hi. How are you, Aubrey?
I'm very good. Thank you, Jabari. What's on your mind, sir?
Yes. I just want to talk a little bit of on what you and Dion are talking about.
Yeah.
Because where I normally take things from is from the beginning. You know, the way we experience the world. Really, every single person has their own mind in their own head, isn't it? So the way they respond to the world is through their experience, isn't it? So the only way they can learn things is by either one of the characteristics of living things is reacting to stimuli. And when you react, you only react because there's a stimulus coming at you. Therefore, you react. Or you can act independent of a stimuli. That's just not acting. You know, when you're one of those people that is just very, that wants to know things. But I think the elders a long time ago have had some of these experiences that they have lived out. And they were able to suss out which experiences are bad for either a culture or humanity, which experiences are good for humanity, And they were able to pass those on to the next generation. So sometimes we see things nowadays and we think that people are shunning or they're rejecting certain things because they just are terrible people. But it's not really the case. It's because the elders before us have already lived that experience, and they're pretty much telling us that this has been tried and tested and it is not good, you know, and this has been tried and tested and it is good. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we need to get back to is a system of communication in terms of being very specific about a lot of things. You guys are talking about school and getting people ready for life, you know, in terms of job, career, you know. But I'll take it as further, you know, into morality, you know, relationship. How do you relate with people? That could be talking about different cultures. How do you relate to the next culture, the next person, to animals, you know, to God, if you've got a God. And, you know, what is health about, for instance? What is health about? How do you get yourself? Because life is about self-preservation, isn't it? Life is about self-preservation. So we do not do things for ourselves that would harm us immediately. You know, that's the reason why you can't bite through your own skin. Because one of the mechanisms that that our body has given us as an example is that it gives you pain so that you realize that you should not bite through your skin, you know.
Jabari, I hear you, my brother. I think you make a very strong case for how we learn and what motivates our learning and what we use what we've learned for. I think you make a very strong case as far as that is concerned. At a very fundamental level, you make a very strong case as far as that is concerned. I'm just worried, though maybe as you and I part ways, what do you do with information, knowledge, that is outside of the purview of our collective experience? So you and I are South Africans. So you and I are South Africans. We've grown up in a particular way. We've had certain experience that make us understand the world in a particular way. And then there is a piece of information that is completely outside of our purview. Completely outside. Do we accept it? Do we accept it or do we reject it because it's outside of the purview of our experience? That's the question that I'm interested in. No, I'm going to leave it there, Jabari, in four ways. Much appreciated. Dion, he makes a very, very powerful point about how we learn, what motivates us, and not just learning for knowledge's sake, but also for how we apply that knowledge ethically, morally, and so forth. But what do you make of the fact that, you know, we have a particular set of experiences, and that's from whence we draw our ability to interpret information that we can then apply?
You know, caller actually had absolutely valid points, but I appreciate your comments as well, because we learn in three different ways. We learn by theory, we learn by reading, we learn by then practicing that, what we've read, into some sort of useful information. And then we learn by socializing. We are social beings as humans. And what the caller was actually trying to get to us is the preservation of humankind is what needs to happen in order for us to preserve humankind, basically.
Yeah.
And I think he's hit the nail on the head with the fact he's also brought that into the learning sphere, because learning has to become a never-ending journey for individuals so that we could preserve life.
Yeah.
And I think knowledge and everything that we do, or even us as Optimi Workplace, you know, making workplace skills or doing learnerships or adult education and training, whatever we do for that is actually to preserve the future generations to come. But I would really caution the fact that we only think about what we've experienced and we only apply that. I would really caution against
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, no, it's a dangerous nativism. I think you can get into real trouble with that kind of thinking that says that I've never heard of something, therefore it doesn't exist, or never seen something, therefore it doesn't exist. So I absolutely hear from you. We're getting quite philosophical, Dion.
Yeah.
And I want to bring it back down to the practical to say, okay,
absolutely.
So we understand. We understand that organizations function best because it is a group of individuals that have come together and are cemented together by a particular way of doing things that makes them effective in the economic world, right? And in order for you to be useful in that environment, you need to align yourself, be part of that that space. I'm still looking for scenarios in which we can say these are the low-hanging fruits for young people, at least, that are out there, that are wanting to make sense of what they've learned at school, whether it be at secondary school, tertiary, whatever the case may be, and what the world needs of them to be meaningful in the world. How do they find those low-hanging fruits, what you call workforce skills? Where do they find these workforce skills, and how do they begin to apply them?
Well, you know, to put it very plain and simple, how do they find these skills is people have to need to engage with yourself on knowledge journey before you start acquiring it. So you need to want it.
Yeah.
And I think that once people start to want these skills, that's when they start to adopt a different or a change in these young individuals leaving school. There's many different means to acquire these skills. There are many programs out there that government has put together. There are CSI projects that government has put in line, in partnership with corporate organizations. So these CSI projects are specifically meant to augment these youth into suitable positions of employment. So not teaching you something academic that you're not going to get a job with, so giving you employable skills. The other means that these people can go to, and I'm talking about the more tangible ways that they could do it, is engage with the CETAs. So engage with training providers like myself. So Optimi Workplace, engage with us. Let us know that you are available for training. Let us know that you are available and that you want to engage with us for these type of workplace skills. We then apply to the CETA. So we engage the CETAs and we say, CETA, please, we have these individuals that we need to give these employable skills to. That's going to make them better in your sector. So that's CETA's specific sector. So the CETA is the Sector Education Training Authority, and every sector in South Africa has one. Mm. And they disseminate funding. So we could really go to the CETA and put a case forward and say, these people will add value to your sector.
Yeah.
Please allow us to train them. And it's about engagement. It's about engaging with private providers. Once you leave school, you're out of the system. That's it for you.
Dion, I want to ask you a question that's going to seem perhaps out of topic, and then I'll tell you how I link it.
Okay.
Do you think that our institutions of learning are going through a process of, in other words, that they're going through a process of not being credible? So what do I mean?
Yeah, I can understand your question.
Yeah,
are we losing credibility in certain?
Yeah, I speak to a lot of young people that'll say to me, you know, I've got this degree, or I've got this diploma, I've got this whatever, but you know, Robs, I just don't feel like what this particular degree or this particular diploma is supposed to mean to me. I feel like I'm an imposter. You've probably heard of the whole term, absolutely. Imposter syndrome, right? I don't feel connected to this degree. I've passed it, yeah, but I don't feel connected to it. I don't feel like I am the person that this certificate says that I am. I don't see, feel meaning and connection with the what this document says about me. I don't feel the connection. And could that be partly why youngsters who are looking to find a position, a place in the workplace are feeling lost? Could that have anything to do with it?
I would think so. And it reminds me of an incident where I interviewed somebody many years ago for a sales position. So for an internal sales position with a shift diploma.
Yeah.
So that's chalk and cheese. That person only did that chef's diploma back then because they were misguided or they were not guided at all.
Yeah.
So to solve the problem, we've got to look at where it stems from. Is it WHOM that needs to teach the teenage kids just finishing school on how to choose a career? Or is it the school's job to do that?
Yeah.
So we need to look at the board. But as you spoke about institutes of learning losing credibility, we've all known that there were certain universities in South Africa that were very top-notch compared to others. And if somebody went there, then they supposedly was very good.
Yeah.
And now we see that that's not the case. And I think it's chasing numbers. So we're chasing numbers. And we're looking at it from a funnel point of view, and we're not looking at what we're getting at the end of the funnel.
Hmm.
We're looking at how many we're putting into the funnel, but we're not looking at the quality of that.
Give me a call. I'd like to take a call from some of our listeners. What's your relationship with your qualification like? Yeah, give me a call and let me know if you feel as though what you've studied for just doesn't speak to you. Yes, you've passed it. Yes, you've got the certificate. Yes, you know, you probably got good marks. But when you sit down and you look at what you've studied versus who you are and what you would like to enjoy in terms of career meaning, this is just not it. And then explain to me why that is the case. Just from your thinking, I'd love to take your calls as far as that is concerned. 011-883-0702, the number to dial. Dion Reddy is just, I've just lost him. Can we connect again with Dion? 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Just lost Dion Reddy. If you can, please, Ntating, reconnect us with Dion. We seem to have lost him. Give us a call, 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. I just feel like there is a major disconnect here, a huge one. Let me read you some of the messages coming through. Aubrey, your guest is spot on. And this is from Katlego Mohoje on Twitter. Says, your guest is spot on. In the last year of my undergraduate studies, there was a woman in her late 50s who ran work readiness programs. From CV writing to basic communication skills in the workplace, it helped a lot. Unfortunately, the institution saw it as a waste of time. I agree with you. I think that those are critical skills. But please give me a call if you feel a certain level of disconnect, a meaninglessness between what you've studied for and what you are doing. And how are you finding meaning? Yeah? Dion, you're back. I'm interested to find out, how do you then help young people find meaning? Because I worry sometimes we're going to give kids yet another course, another thing to go and write. But we haven't. made the connection between myself as a human being and the and having meaning in the world that I live in, and therefore finding the kind of vocation that is going to extend that meaning. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It does make sense, yeah.
So, what do we do?
You know, at some point, I think that these type of topics needs to be addressed at a very elementary level, especially from a school point of view. I mean, we're getting matriculants that are finishing matric this year that are going to either enter the further study regime from next year, or they're going to enter the job market. And how much of them, or how many of them entering the job market with just a matric, come freshly out of school, even though they've passed matric with good symbols, are ready to start working in an environment with mature people that's been doing their job for a long time.
Let's take a call
and
quickly.
I think that that's the responsibility of the organizations that these people join, to have such an induction program for these newcomers. Giving somebody a chance is what we need to do. We've established that. We need to turn things around in South Africa. But how do we do it? We equip them with the skills that they need to perform well. It's like trying to take a normal car off the road and put it into a racetrack. You got to prepare that car. You got to prepare this individual for the challenges that they are going to experience. And these courses that we have, and, you know, I'm coming back to it, is 21 different type of courses that equipped people for this type of thing. One of the ones that stand up, tall and Tom, you know, talk about me is one that we have that's called managing your personal finances. That's a very hot topic, and that's another topic on its own.
Yeah.
But everybody, whether you've been in an organization for 20 years, whether you've been there for 2 months, you're going to need some sort of guidance somewhere along the line on how to manage your personal finances.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that's what makes it relevant.
Yeah. Let me speak to Charlie in Florida. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Brahms, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Charlie. What's on your mind, my brother?
And thank you very much, Dion, for a very insightful topic.
Yeah.
You mentioned, you guys have been talking about how do the young people know who they are and how do they fit into the workplace. Mm. They're qualified in certain things. And I've also been in this space, speak to a lot of young people. And I think parents put the pressure on the kids to go and study certain subjects or follow certain career paths because of, you know, we could maybe say it's from the past, you have to get a good degree and find a good job. But then that person, and from my own personal experience, as Dion had indicated, somebody had studied one thing and then they were doing something else, came in for a different interview. I've had those experiences with young people so many times. He says, you've studied electrical engineering, but you want to come and sell stationery. Where does it connect? Oh, it's too difficult. That job is too difficult. The person hasn't really been cut out for it. It takes me back to our youth, where the school had guidance classes. There was actually a subject called guidance, where they used to guide you and identify where your personality traits are and identify what you align with, and then you could make informed choices that could shape a good choice for the career path that you would like to follow.
Charlie, always great talking to you, my brother. Charlie, the connector out in Florida, much appreciated. Dion, let's close this conversation off with your final word. And how do people get in touch with you if they want to continue this conversation with you?
Well, you know, just as a good gesture for bringing me on your show, I would like to get people to experience this and give the opportunity to 20 youth to contact Optime Workplace and get in touch with me, and I will give you courses that you could take back and try to get yourself ready for the world of work at absolutely no charge.
Ah, wonderful. Give me your contact details, Dion.
My contact details is Dion, D-I-O-N. My email address, Dion dot ready.
Yep.
At MediaWorks, MediaWorks dot zero today.
Dion Reddy, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Expert, workplace expert at Optime Workplace. Much appreciated.